Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 30 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. Yes, I got it wrong last week. Last week was episode 29. Apparently, I do not know how to count. This week's episode is about comfort shows. When you're in the midst of your depression and you're laying on the couch in the fetal position, what shows did you have on TV? What helped you? What brought you a small smidge of joy while you were battling the low? So before we get into the discussion, as always, like to remind everybody, we are not medical professionals. We offer opinions and advice that is of our own thinking. If you are having issues, please seek medical attention. If you're on medication, do not stop taking your medication for any reason. If you do want to stop taking your medication, please talk to a medical professional. If you're feeling extremely low and are having very dark thoughts, Joyelle is going to give you some avenues to discuss. Joyelle?
Yeah, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645, and in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So please, if you're feeling suicidal, if you're down, if you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to these numbers and get some help. And on to Taylor.
Good day to everyone. I'm used to it being good morning, everybody. And it's like, oh, wait, no, it's not. It's not morning. As always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you guys. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name. And for this week's quote, it is, "The healer also needs healing. The planner also needs surprises. The giver also needs to receive. The thoughtful also needs to be thought of. And the considerate need to be considered." And I kind of felt it's one that we've had saved for a while. I'm trying to go through them and use all of the ones that we've saved because these two girls have found some freaking amazing quotes. And then we get sidetracked and we all look over and go, oh, look, the shiny thing, and pick up new quotes. But I felt this one kind of fit for the comfort show episode just because it kind of makes me think of the times of when you kind of go into that depressive state and you're, like Dana said, curled up in the fetal position on the couch. And realistically, a lot of us, when we get to that point, we've been givers, we've been considerate, we've been healers, and it takes a lot out of us to the point of we need to do something for ourselves, but a lot of us won't say it or verbalize it to anyone out loud. And the way that I've coped with it in the past and still to this day will is I have comfort shows. So for myself, I have Golden Girls, Gilmore Girls, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and Friends, and Bob's Burgers. Those are my five comfort shows that I can put on and just have playing in the background. Whether I'm paying attention or not doesn't really matter because I've seen them all like a million times and I know what's happening and I can see it in my head, but it's like a hug for me when it comes to comfort shows. So what about you ladies?
My comfort shows, I guess, my ultimate comfort show would be Scrubs. I watched the complete series probably close to 5 times now. When I first went on medication for my depression, And I was at home, literally on the couch in the fetal position. I started rewatching Breaking Bad. Mm. And I know a lot of people are like, that's not a comfort show. to me, I don't know what it was. I literally felt like Bryan Cranston's character of Walter White was my soulmate. I saw myself within him without making the math, but like.
I can see Dana with the goggles on. And
she's walking around in underwear, goggles on, face mask.
I could so literally relate to his situation. And it was just my friend Jeff, who watched the show, like, I would tease him, and every now and then I'd text him and I'd be like, I love Heisenberg. And he'd be like, you're an idiot. But yeah, so Breaking Bad is what. So I have Scrubs, Breaking Bad, Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
The Golden Girls.
Fuck yes. cheesecake.
And if I had to pick one more that I could put on and just kind of listen to. And I know you guys are going to be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross.
You know what's weird is how often I've actually heard that's a comfort show for people. Like,
there's something about that man's voice.
Well, this is just a happy little accident here. I'll just put a little tree here.
It's a happy little tree.
Just a little some puffy clouds.
Sounds like the old version of ASMR. Oh my god. And what about you, Joyelle? What do you have for comfort shows?
Oh my goodness, you guys! I feel like
it's gonna be like dark, heavy ones for
you. Yeah, I'm so different from you guys. So I don't feel like I really like during my deepest, darkest, like part of my depression. I didn't really have any certain shows that I found comfort in, because honestly, I found comfort in nothing. Like TV, like I'd put it on and it was just in the background. I was just busy like crying or sleeping, trying to like, you know, avoid life and stuff. This is really like, Dana thinks her Breaking Bad was awful, but I honestly find, I don't know if it's comfort that I find in it, but I like watching true crime shows. So like shows about serial killers and murders and that. And I think it's because I feel like their life is worse than mine.
No, that's normal everyday viewing for me.
Like, I was just gonna say,
here's me, I'm like searching Amazon Prime for this serial killer documentary.
It's not like one specific comfort thing, but I do. I'm obsessed with serial killer and shows, but I think it fascinates me that I think one people can treat each other that way. Mm-hmm. The stupid things that people kill each other over.
Of course.
The police work is also fascinating, how they catch them and the leaps and bounds they've made in like forensics and,
oh god, yes, yeah,
and stuff. But as far as like comfort shows, yeah, I don't really think because at that point, like, I didn't find comfort in anything, because I mean, I like Friends and I like the and shows like that and like you said like Golden Girls and stuff, but I found that like when I was in my deep depression, I didn't want to see people happy. I didn't
that want, makes sense.
Like I didn't yeah. want to see them having a good life because I was so miserable. And I didn't wanna watch like I like romantic comedies and stuff and that, but I didn't wanna watch them because mm-hmm. I didn't wanna see this amazing relationship or how it, you know, they always end off like they get together in the end and everything's yep. all good. And then I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see some, even though it was like fictional, I didn't want to see somebody else's life going good because mine was so terrible and I was feeling so low.
Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah.
That Oof. Author, Nicholas Sparks. Nope, he's the nope. one that makes those fucking fantasies where yep. the shit hits the fan. And 10 minutes later, the sun comes out, the rain dries up, and you're getting married. It's bullshit. Yep.
And you know, and it's funny because you guys both mentioned like that you like to watch the Golden Girls and stuff. And you know, this doesn't really go into like comfort shows. I don't know where we want to put what I'm about to say, what category it goes into. But
I
was told by like because you know how the people like when you talk about depression and stuff and people are like, oh, you're just sad, or you know, oh, it's just like, you know, wake, you know, just suck it up and stuff like that,
it'll and, pass.
Yeah, and I got told before that the reason I'm depressed is because I don't watch shows like the Golden Girls.
I forgot about that.
Did that happen at work, that conversation?
No. You can guess who said that.
Wow.
Like, you know, the blue, you can guess the blue box issue.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think that, like, because I don't, like, I view TV as just entertainment
mm-hmm.
and that I don't take it like it's not serious, not real life. And truthfully, when I do watch TV, it's because I want to be entertained.
Right. As most people do, that's their whole reasoning why they're watching, right? They want to be entertained.
Well, it's one of those things that like, for me, depending on where I am for different mindsets is kind of like what I can watch on TV. So whenever I've gone through like a breakup or when Mama's been sick, anything like that, we normally go to like Mama's comfort show is for sure Big Bang Theory. Like we've watched that through several times and it's nice and light. It doesn't take anything too seriously. Like, yeah, there's some serious parts to it, but overall, still nice and light and good for when you're in that dark space and going through like a sickness for her. But yeah. One of the things that I've seen posted before about studies is showing that the reason why so many of us, when we're depressed, we go back and we watch shows that we've seen before is because it's a known outcome. We know what's going to happen. We know the entire storyline. We know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't like to watch things when we're in those states that we don't know how they end because we don't like the unknown. So it mimics life too much for a lot of us where it's like, okay, well, I didn't know that it was, I didn't know my relationship was going to end. I don't fucking want to know. I don't want to not know endings anymore. Like, screw this shit. I'm watching Golden Girls. I know what's going to happen at the very end of it. Spoiler alert, Dorothy gets married. Just in case there's someone out there who hasn't seen the series yet.
Well, then you just ruined it.
I've never watched the finale. Thanks. No, I'm kidding.
That's it. Friendship's ended. Dana's going on her Facebook. Unfriend. Delete.
We're 30 not doing years this. Later, I've never watched the finale.
And I will say this because I know that if my my one ex listens to this episode, I know that she's going to be sitting there going, yeah, and you hate endings. So therefore, I might also avoid endings in TV series. I'm not good at like the finishing the episodes. Like I'll get to the very last episode of a series. And that is where it will stay, because then in my little head, it continues on for all eternity and there's no end to it. And that's how my little depressive brain likes to work.
So I kind of felt that way with Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Two amazing, amazing shows. I didn't want them to end. And I knew at the end of both shows, my favorite people were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do. And I'm not a person that cries at movies. Like Sam will tell you, my daughter tried to get me to cry at a movie, and she made me watch my Sister's Keeper.
Oh yes.
And like her and Bailey are on the couch bawling their faces off. I'm just sitting there, and she's like, "You're not human, Mom. Why don't you cry at movies?" I'm like, movies don't make me cry. I can't help it. But then I watched like Breaking Bad. And at the end, like Walter White goes down in like a machine, like, you know, his body's riddled with bullets. And I'm like, like, I'm an emotional mess. Like, I just lost my best friend. And I think it's because I have. Like I was saying, I had that feeling, like I could relate to what he was going through and the things that he did to keep his family going. So it was like, you know, watching him die, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I'm going to die in a rain of bullets. The mafia is going to get me somehow. So I understand not wanting to watch the end.
Well, maybe that's like, my problem. Maybe I need to have comfort shows to help with to get me through.
Yeah. You want the death and dismay. You're like, bring it on. Die, Walter. Die, you bastard.
I don't like. I guess that's part of why maybe I'm driven to more darker shows, is because like their life is theirs is worse than mine at that moment. Like, so I kind of feel like kind of kindred in that sense, that life, because you know, you watch like those like Golden Girls and stuff, which I like the Golden Girls, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. But right. It's all like, oh, they're so happy and everything works out in the end and all their problems they can overcome and you know, whatever goes wrong, they can always fix it. And same with like those love movies, like, oh, you know, they break up, but then they realize, oh my God, you're the love of my life. And like, that just doesn't happen in real life. Yeah. Like,
fucking Hallmark, yeah, for everything.
Like, I met you a week ago. I'm quitting my job and I love you. I'm quitting my job and I'm moving across the country to be with you.
That's called being a lesbian, by the way, in case anyone's wondering. Just because I'm going to educate the entire masses that listen to this, the lesbian community has something called U-hauling. And that means that on the first date, it went so well that you hand over your keys and second date is you moving in with a U-haul. And I wish that I was kidding that this didn't happen. It does. It's why it's a thing.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
But I think, too, like, part of that's just is my, like, the experiences, too, I think, that you have in your life. And that, like, haven't had good relationships and stuff, so it's like, I don't want to see the happy ending. I don't, you know what I mean? I want to see them not get back together, and I want them to be miserable, just like me. And
I have a great relationship. I don't like the happy endings. I don't. I would rather, like, and again, let's go back to the stupid Hallmark movies. Okay, the Christmas in July on the woman's channel. My mom watches all these movies, right?
Okay, I'm gonna, before you continue, I'm gonna admit something. I fucking watch them.
Peanut.
More the Christmas.
Well, she said she likes rom-coms, so I can see that.
So more the Christmas ones at Christmas time.
Okay, forgiven. Anyways.
Forgiven but judged.
Just once, I want to see one of these movies go like this. Mom and dad still live in the small town daughter grew up in. Daughter goes away, has a failed marriage. Runs back home with her tail between her legs to mommy and daddy in the small town. And it's Christmas time. And she runs into her old high school flame. And they flirt and hee-hee, and they giggle and let's have coffee. And they have the coffee and he takes her hand and he says, you know, I never stopped loving you. And she's like, I was such a fool to leave you. And then he dies. That's what I want to see. I want to see real life. I want to see this childhood romance come back around full circle, and then there's a car accident or a house fire or he falls off a fucking cliff hiking. I don't know, but it's just, these happy endings are such bullshit. I don't know. I think
that's why I like it sounds bad, but I find almost like comfort in watching the serial killer. I know that sounds awful. Like shows and true crime is because it's real. Like yeah. It's like if I'm crying over a breakup or I'm deep in my depression, like, this is real. Like, I don't want to see a happy ending because I'm not having a happy ending. Like, but I also just find that when I am deep in that low is that, honestly, I'm consumed in that low so much that, like, honestly, watching TV is a chore.
Yes.
It seems like a chore. Like, I just want to curl up in my bed, on the couch, whatever, and let life pass me by.
I think for me, the issue, it literally, I just had the moment, whatever, like 5 minutes ago while we were recording here, where as you're talking about, like, watching SOA or the crime series, all that kind of stuff, and how it's more real life. I think the realization, not just I think, the realization for me of why those aren't comfort shows for me is because of my family background. So for me, it all hits too close to home for how accurate some things are, because I have darker stuff in my family that goes on where it's like, oh yeah, you know, you have some stuff where it's biker gangs, you have some stuff where it's the mafia. You have some stuff where people take hits out on people. It's like, okay, yeah. You have people like my grandmother trying to kidnap me when I was born. So
who the fuck are you?
we might be related because
you may have a little mafia in your family, some biker.
Yeah, we might be related. because I'm Italian. And
mine's French, though. Mine's French mafia.
I'm also French, but...
Oh, okay, maybe.
and I have, like, my... Like, back... My cousins and stuff were the head of the Queensmen.
Oh, yeah. So we would have family in common.
Yeah, there's the story of my grandfather took somebody for a ride to the corner and then he never came back. Mm-hmm. The guy, Dana, not my grandfather, but the guy.
Train station in Yellowstone.
Dana's face right now is just fucking amazing.
But that's what I meant when I said about having bad relationships, and I mm-hmm. can, I think that's more what I was getting at. Like you said, it hits, like it's the way you were raised. It's what you saw. And I find it. So.
See, and for me, it's the thing where it's like, okay, I love watching the shows, but like, even for me, like when I watched SOA, I binge watched it a couple times. But it's that moment of where it gets a little too real at times where I'm like, oh, it's time for like Family Guy, because I need something to balance out this.
Love Family Guy.
It's Giggity. Yes. But it's one of those ones where I'm like, okay, I will watch something dark. But then before I go to bed, I need to level that out, because all that's going to go through my brain is all of the darkness. And then suddenly I'm like, oh yeah, you know what, like I said, it hadn't dawned on me until this recording where I'm like, oh, maybe that's why I don't like these shows.
Oh, so that okay. happens to me. Like I absolutely get what you're saying, Taylor, because when Norm and I would watch like Netflix, if a new serial killer documentary came out, mm. or like a kidnapping or something like that, right? And we watched it, and it was like really heavy, and like when it ended, you're like, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We would watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a couple episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just to kind of like get a little serotonin going.
You're like, ooh, I got to bring something up here. Whoo.
I'd be like, I can't go to bed like this.
That's 100% it. Like, even like for me, I absolutely love, I don't like horror, and yet I love American Horror Story.
Oh, but my god,
that show fucks me up.
Did you see my post? The new season's coming soon.
Oh, what's
you
the
see
season?
Who's in it?
No.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, American Horror Story. Come on.
Unfortunately.
Maybe she'll die right off the bat.
One sex tape doesn't make you an actor.
I wasn't prepared for that sentence. It's true, but I was not prepared for
I'll
that.
I'll take the hit for all the hate mail we're going to get on that.
If we get hate mail for that, the world is doomed.
I hope that, is his name Evan Peters?
Yes.
I hope he's in it. I didn't see if he was, though. I didn't see his name.
I think him and Sarah Paulson are off having bigger careers now, where it's like, no, come back. Come back. You two are fucking amazing. I love you. Get back in the show.
I think he's been in almost every season of it.
He almost. Was great in Dahmer.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched that yet. I have to.
Oh my god. That was super. Like, that was so, like, I almost didn't continue watching it after the first episode, because it was so fucking creepy. Because, like, you know it's real and it happened. And mm-hmm. it was so, and he played the part, like, so super creepy.
Yeah. So I heard that about the show. So it's one of those things, like, I want to watch it, but I'm going to need so much Family Guy. For every one episode I watch, 10 Family Guy. Got to get that ratio in.
Well, I know you've never watched it, and I don't know if this is so much a spoiler, because it was talked about after that episode came out, when his neighbor was over and he offered her a bite of his sandwich. And she said, what kind of sandwich is it? And he said, it's pulled pork. I cannot eat pulled pork for the life of me.
No.
No, it gets offered to me. I'm like, no. I'm going to a restaurant. Or
it's kind of like, I don't know if you girls have seen the musical Sweeney Todd.
No, I didn't.
So, in it...
I watched and the movie.
I was going to say, yes, that's fine, the musical movie. So you know then that the demon barber of Fleet Street slit people's throats and then would toss them down for Mrs. Lovitz to take and cook into pies.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that. And it's actually, they're still trying to prove whether or not it's legitimate to history because they found the barber shop where they think it actually is from. And they found clues to it where they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this was accurate to how he was doing things. Like, oh, that's unsettling. It's like, nope, that's not happy. But I didn't know that going into the movie to see it. I hadn't seen the musical before. And my mom had. And then we proceeded to watch it and we got to the meat pies. And when the kid goes and she's like, oh, go ahead, love, have all you want. And he goes and he bites into it and pulls out a big toe. I was done. I turned to my mom like, I'm never eating a tortilla again. That part of my French history is gone.
Tortillas are minced.
I love tortillas.
Tortillas are minced meat. You don't want to eat, like, a meat pie from, like, England where the pieces of meat are big and in gravy.
Look, in the movie, it was minced meat, and they put it into their meat pies. I don't want none of it. I don't want none of it.
Now I'm going to make you a tortilla.
Yep. I'll eat it.
I got my grandmother's recipe. I love them.
I have only recently started eating them again. And even then, it's kind of like I fork through it a little bit to see if there's any toes or fingers.
For toenails.
Is there anything in here? What made this meat? Are you sure it's not people? I don't know if it's not people. That looks like people.
Well, I don't know if it's not people either. I bought it at Walmart.
It's probably people.
Yeah.
It's the workers who tried to leave.
Like I said, Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Best movie just, ever.
Just makes me think of Futurama when they have the Soylent Green. I was thinking of what was it? Sabrina, the Dark Adventure. Crap, what the hell's the name of the stupid show? The Adventures of Sabrina. I think it's like the Dark Adventures. They actually.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
It was the reboot of that, but a hell of a lot darker.
The one on Netflix?
Yep, that one.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It was a pretty good show. Very different from the Teenage Witch that I grew up with, just saying.
I watched it.
But in it, when they referred to having long pig for dinner, I didn't know that that's another phrasing for eating human.
Oh.
So,
what is after, it?
Long pig. It's because we're long.
Long? Oh, I thought you said lawn, like grass lawn.
Lawn pig! Hold on, let me just... That's what they call us when we're free range. We're lawn pigs.
I'm just going to let you guys know the thunder is rolling here.
Yeah, it's been here.
So if I suddenly lose power, because we all know how LaSalle is.
And yeah, Miss Berg. Yeah, it's been doing here now for like since about 3 o'clock.
So if we suddenly go silent. All right, it's a really short episode this week, folks.
I disappear. Carry on without me.
Carry on my wayward son.
Dedicated to the folks of LaSalle that lose power every time it might rain.
Or when a squirrel runs across the line.
Yeah. I didn't know they were just as bad as Amherstburg. Amherstburg's awful. It's like the sun will be out and it's a perfectly fine day and all of a sudden you lose power.
We're worse.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That sucks because Amherstburg's really bad.
It'll be like 7 o'clock in the morning, power goes out. You'll see people on the LaSalle community. A squirrel got into the box again. It'll be like an hour and a half before it comes back on. They've developed a drinking game about it.
Jesus.
So like when the power goes out, it's like you take a drink and somebody says power's out on a certain street. liked her own at a certain intersection. I shouldn't be telling my town secrets.
Too late, we now know.
Everybody's flocking to move to LaSalle.
I was just going to say, everyone's going to be sitting there going, what are you doing here? I came for the views. Makes it really hard, though, to watch your comfort shows when the squirrels have the audacity to nibble through a power line. You're like, you bastard.
Do you guys have comfort movies? Now, I mean, we've talked about series like that have extensive seasons. Do you have comfort movies?
So I don't know. Comfort movies. I think that falls into the same thing. I do have a movie I've watched a million times, and lately I've been watching it when I feel down, I guess. And it's What Lies Beneath.
It's an older movie. Yeah.
And it's got Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford in it.
Ooh. Sorry.
Indy.
and it's
you call him Dr. Jones.
And like the I don't want to give it away because it's like if you haven't watched it. But I've Taylor, I don't think.
Let me just make this clear for everyone, because if they ever have any questions, I'm a spoiler whore. Tell me everything. Tell me every detail and I will be happy.
Well, it's about how she was in a car accident and kind of lost, like, she has no recollection of the night of what happened and stuff. And anyways, they had moved into like Harrison Ford, his father had passed away, so they moved into this house that was his, and she thinks the house is haunted and stuff, and it ends up like he had an affair and he killed the girl that he was having an affair with, and that girl was haunting the house trying to get Michelle Pfeiffer to remember the night and remember that he had an affair.
Wasn't her body under the like the boathouse or the shed or something?
No, but it was in a lake, like down the road or something like that, and over under a bridge or something. But he had thrown like some of her belongings into the lake.
Okay.
Like off their property and stuff, and it's really good.
Yeah, it is a good movie. So you, Taylor, you got movies that just wrap you in an envelope of comfort?
I mean, obviously Star Wars for me, because I'm a gigantic Star Wars nerd. Mm-hmm. Those are always a go-to for me.
I like Star Wars, but only the originals.
That's most of us. Like, the originals will always be my favorite, just because they're the originals. They have Harrison Ford, they have Carrie Fisher, may she rest in peace, because I fucking loved her, and Mark Hamill, and again, fucking fantastic guy. So, I mean, I have those, and I have, like, it's one of those things, like, again, where it depends on my mood, where if I want to be lost and submerged into another world, so to speak, I seem to gravitate towards movies that have multiples. So like Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Pirates of the Caribbean, Harry Potter, all those where it's you get to be attached to the characters and carry them on. Where those, I've watched all of those, I couldn't even tell you how many times over the years. Just because they always bring me in, and they're just like a comfort for me, whether I'm feeling down, whether I'm feeling blah. Some of them just have that ability where even if I'm not like in a depressed state, they can just kind of lift me up at times, like watching the Pirates of the Caribbean. Those are one of my favorite series just because there's enough levity to it that if I'm kind of feeling a little bit low, I can watch those and laugh at them as you watch Captain Jack Sparrow run by with his weird run. And him and Barbossa argue over whose ship it is. Like, all of that. But you also get, like, you get some of the feelings in it, too, I suppose, for those who have emotions. They feel kind of sadness for it.
Bootstrap Bill.
Man, we'll just lace him down to his bootstraps and just shove him off board. It's fine. It'll go fine.
You know, I guess, like, for comfort movies, I guess I gravitate towards, like, Adam Sandler movies. And like, those ridiculous comedies with, like, Seth Rogen and Adam Sandler. And I think those are my escape.
It's funny that, because that's so different for you. Like, series, you're like, murder, death. Everyone must suffer. And then for your movies, you're like, I like the stupid comedies. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen. What's his name? Jonah Hill, who also does it with Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Jonah Hill. Yeah.
Like, all of them. So it's funny to hear such a stark difference between what you go for. And what about you, Dana?
Well, Lord of the Rings trilogy, of course.
Oh, yeah. Lord of the Rings. I forgot about that one.
Extended
Oh, my God.
Edition.
Yeah.
Because it ain't long enough, right?
That's right.
Hell no, it's not.
You got to get all 12 hours. Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, I have probably watched that movie close to 300 times since it came out in 2018.
You watch it, like, just for listeners, just for our people to know, she's not kidding. I have watched her watch it back to back. Like, there's been days where she's literally been finish it, restart it, and watch it again. Like, she loves this movie, and it was so well done.
So, in 2020, I started a journey of knee replacements. So, when you're bound to a chair, because you can't walk after having your knee replaced, you tend to watch movies. My husband and I had gone to see Bohemian Rhapsody at the show. And again, I don't cry at movies. Bawled my face off in the theater. He bought it for me on DVD. So I would say to him, could you put the movie in the DVD player, please, and get me the remote? So he'd be like, okay. And I'd hear him, he's working at the kitchen table singing along. And I'm just, like, watching the movie. And then as I progressively got better and could do more, I took up cross-stitching again. And it got to where I would put the movie on while I cross-stitched, just so I could hear it and sing along. And next thing I know, it became like every 3 days I was watching this movie. And the more I watched it, the more I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where if you shut the volume off, I could probably relay the movie to you. Minus the singing, because nobody sings like Freddie, but it's great. So, yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody is probably my number one. Then Lord of the Rings trilogies. And for Joelle, it's an Adam Sandler movie, but it's not the movie you think. It's not one of his comedy movies.
Oh.
50 First Dates.
I love that movie so fucking much.
I could watch that movie over and over again.
I know my comfort movie. I just thought of it when you said that now. Okay, as you were.
Well, I was done, so go ahead.
Oh. Sorry. It was one of those moments, it was like the lightning hit me right in the brain. I don't know if you girls have ever seen it, or if any of our listeners have ever seen it. If you haven't, please, 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 please go watch it. It's one of my all-time favorite Drew Barrymore movies, and it's Ever After.
Oh, yes.
It is the telling of Cinderella's story told from a completely different way than it's been told before. And she is so, so good in it. The story is so well told. And it's not done in the same way. Like, there's been so many recreations of Cinderella. Oh, here she goes walking down the stairs. Okay, here's this. And it's a much more, I'd say more of like a historical-esque kind of way of telling the story and showing how she was mistreated. But you fall in love with the characters. You fall in love with the prince, his family, all of it. It's just so well done. And it's one of those movies that I could watch a million times and still love just as much every single time.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I mean, it's Drew Barrymore. I will basically watch anything with her in it because I just adore her.
One of my favorite comedy movies in the whole entire world is Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
Oh my God.
If you've never watched that, you are missing out.
Data, just the look of, oh my God, why?
I have seen it.
I absolutely love that movie. It definitely makes me chuckle every single time I watch it, and I watch it a lot.
It's like Talladega Nights. You have to watch it just because.
I don't know if you watched the Johnny Cash movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, God, yeah.
So it's a parody of the Johnny Cash movie.
Yeah.
Love it.
Walk the Line.
I love it. It's like they're little boys and they're like playing with machetes. The one kid cuts the brother in half. He's like, oh my God, I've accidentally cut brother in half with a machete. Who knew it could be so easy? And then throughout the whole movie, the father's like, wrong kid died. like he goes on to like become this huge success, and every whole thing's just like, the wrong kid died.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Another movie I love that I watch 1,000 times, Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I absolutely love it. I think that was a very well-made movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've never watched it.
No, it really? Has Gerard Butler in it and Emmy Rossum, is it?
Yes.
It's so good. It's an older movie.
I've seen multiple different covers of it.
Do
like
they
different...
sing?
Yeah.
Gerard Butler has a great voice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, it's got Minnie Driver in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went and saw it in Toronto.
I wish. I totally.
Back in like 91.
Oh, before I was ever born. Okay.
My favorite part of the movie is when, like, they're showing the, right at the beginning when they're telling the story, mm-hmm. and they show the theater all wrecked, and yes. then they start playing the music, the mm-hmm. da-da, and it starts, they have it all forming back into mm-hmm. the original theater. Oh, my God, it's, like, my favorite part of the movie.
That movie gives me literal chills every time that I watch it, just, like, the powerful singing to it, how they're mm-hmm. connected to it. Like, that's one of those ones where you feel it as you watch it. Like some movies, a lot of movies, I'd say, you don't really feel like you don't feel that connection with the movie. Like you enjoy it. It's not that you don't, but there are some movies out there where you just get such a connection. You become interwoven with the movie and the mm-hmm. characters. Like for me, the movie that kind of had that impact on me, weirdly enough, is the musical Burlesque with Cher and Stanley yeah. Tucci and Christina Aguilera.
I love Stanley Tucci.
Oh, me too. But that movie, it was one of those, like, I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I jived with it. And then when Cher sings the song, You Haven't Heard the Last of Me, from the first time I heard that, Every time I hear it, I get chills. It has spoken to my soul every single time. And it's one of those, it's the one that I shared when Peanut put up the post of, hey, what's one song that speaks to you? Mm. That is one of the biggest songs, I think, out there that has ever spoken to me. And that came out when I was, I don't even remember, like, I think 16, maybe 17, somewhere around there. And it still has the same impact on me today as it did back then. It's just so, it's just such a powerful song. And it brings the movie even closer to my heart for it. And it's definitely one of those ones, like, I don't watch it too often. It's weirdly enough not one of my comfort movies. But when I watch it, it's, I'm fully enraptured in it. I don't play on my phone. I don't do anything. I sing along with it, all that fun stuff.
That's me with Rounders.
Yeah?
Have you watched Rounders?
I don't know if I have or not, because that's an older movie.
Matt Damon, John Malkovich, John Turturro.
Oh my God, I love John Malkovich. His voice just gets me.
They,
Peanut needs a moment. Hold on.
I do. It's Underground Poker Houses.
Oh, okay.
From the first time I saw it, I like, it was almost magical. Like watching the movie and then like learning the terminology for poker and they were playing Texas Hold'em. Or, you know, and it was just seeing how they cheat and the corruption. It was just such a good movie. You're totally, like, you're staring at the TV screen watching it.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It's one of those movies that, it's not a comfort movie, but sometimes I just feel like watching it and I'll put it on and the kitchen could be on fire and people are running around and I'm like, TV. That and Dogma.
Oh, the one with,
Did I have Ben Affleck in it?
Kevin Smith and.
Really?
It does have
that one?
Have you ever
it's
watched
the shit
it?
Monster.
I can't. You know what? I know I watched it, but it's been a really long time. I don't remember it.
Alan Rickman plays the voice of God. Come on, Alanis Morissette plays God. It is, and I mean, my husband and I are huge Kevin Smith fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've gone and seen this man. Like, we've watched, we went, when Clerks 3 came out, we went over to the States. We got to watch Clerks 3, and then Kevin Smith had, like, a Q&A afterwards. And we saw him at Comic-Con here in Windsor many, many years ago. Like, his movies are phenomenal. Well, okay. Tusk. Not sure what you're thinking, Kevin. Love ya. But yeah, like, when Dogma came out, because, and you guys know, I'm not a Bible person. Mm-hmm. I don't. It's not that I don't believe in God. I don't use the term God. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe anybody has the right to tell you when to pray, where to pray, who to pray to, and how much money you have to give to a church. So Catholicism, for me, is a very, very angry, angry open wound.
Mm-hmm.
So when Dogma came out, and the Buddy Christ and the whole slap in the face to the Catholic community. It was like I felt so blessed watching the movie. I loved it so much. And I mean, like, the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Lee. Jason Mewes. Kevin Smith. Like I said, Selma Hayek.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Rock. He plays the 13th Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus. You know, that ensemble, they all worked so well together. And then, like, they made this, like, beautiful, delicious ice cream sundae. And then you had that cherry on top. George Carlin.
Yeah.
As a cardinal. And I mean, come on. George Carlin. It doesn't get any better than that. So, yeah. The Dogma is probably the highest I could give a Kevin Smith movie. It's like right up there with Bohemian Rhapsody for me, but not a comfort movie. I don't watch it when I'm feeling down. I just, if I feel like I need to have like huge belly laughs, that's the movie I'm putting in. So that's, yeah.
I do like that we have movies, like we have our comfort shows and our comfort movies, but then we also know that there's, like, this weird other category where it's, we feel extremely strongly connected to these movies or shows, and yet they're not actually, they wouldn't be considered comfort shows. It's like, okay, like me with Burlesque, you with Dogma. Or it's like, oh my God, yeah, it's like right up there, one of the top movies that we love the most, but it's not what I turn to when I want comfort. But boy, does it speak to us or make us laugh hysterically and want to pee ourselves.
Now, you watch Burlesque, you sing along, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I watch Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't sing along. Maybe I'll hum a little. Because, again, Freddie, nobody is Freddie.
Mm.
Sorry, Adam, I love you too. Adam Lambert, you're doing a hell of a job, but you're not Freddy.
You know the nothing.
If I want to watch a movie where I am so engrossed that I don't care if the windows are open, who hears me singing? It's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah!
From the beginning to the end of the credits.
Yes. Every
single song.
I find that the song that he sings at the very end, and that going home, coming home or something.
I'm going home.
I don't know why, but I just find that song resonates.
It's kind of like a sad song.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones, like Rocky Horror Picture Show is my mom's all-time favorite musical. Weirdly enough, folks, like these, her number one is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Her number two is Sound of Music. Couldn't be further apart. I'm just a sweet transvestite, followed by the hills are alive with the sound of music. Oh, look, there's Dr. Frankenfurter flying overhead.
We don't pick who we love. Or what we love.
That's right. We just do.
Mama.
I will inform her thusly. But we went up the best. And you know what? We should probably look for something around here this year and go to the interactive Rocky Horror Picture Show. But we went up to Stratford 3 times. Minimum 2, possibly 3. I think 2 times. We went up. We saw it up there performed. Absolutely. Stratford did such a phenomenal job and shows that they're ready for the weird stuff going on up there, because Rocky Horror Picture Show was, or still is, the longest running show in Stratford history, because it had sold out shows every single time.
I've never been to Stratford.
No, me neither.
Okay, clearly we need a road trip because we will rectify this. But we went the second time, and the second time we got dressed up for it. And it's always fun to go up and listen to them, because there's like some of the people who live around there, they get free shows. So they'll get to go and see whatever's going on as kind of like recompense for, hey, there's going to be a lot of tourists. Here you go.
There's going to be a lot of people walking around in their underwear. Beg your pardon.
Yeah. So there were these little old ladies in front of us who were like mortified as they're watching going, what's happening? Because you'd have the guy out in the audience, Brad Majors, asshole, asshole. And then when it became Janet Weiss, what is it? Slut or bitch? I can't remember which one gets yelled out for her. Slut. So then all of a sudden the guy's yelling out, slut, slut. And they're like, that's not very nice to yell that out in the middle of a show. It's like, no, it's interactive. Rocky Horror Picture Show is interactive, and you're meant to yell these things.
A toast. Throw
bread on the stage. Exactly. Oh, it's raining. You put newspaper over your head and have the little. Exactly. And it is one of those ones, like, again, not a comfort movie for me, but, oh, I will watch that multiple times throughout the year. And you best believe my voice is going to be hoarse by the time that we're done, because I was belting it out the entire way along.
Yeah.
And others may not be happy about it, but I don't fucking care. And so, like, it's,
we're going away tomorrow. That's why we're doing the podcast today, because I'm going to be gone for 3 days, folks. Because it's technically Friday today. So I plan, even though I have satellite radio in my car, I plan on taking my iPod. Now, my husband knows my goofy taste in music. The music on my iPod goes from the 50s to, like, now. But our passenger doesn't. <Uh-oh.
laughs>
And he's in for a surprise, because I have the complete soundtrack of Rocky Horror Picture Show on my iPod. And I can see us rolling into Collingwood. Me with the windows down singing Sweet Transvestite, you know?
Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
Clearly that's what we need to burst out singing when we go to breakfast next time. We're just going to be at the table and all of a sudden we're going to turn to you and be like, damn it, Janet, I love you.
No, well, when Peanut comes in, we'll go, it's astounding.
Downing.
Time is fleeting.
It's a fluid.
I see y'all. Okay, I'll stop now. Peanut's gonna have regrets.
Nah, I love it. I like that show too. So, I'm not like you guys like dress up and everything, but I do enjoy it. I think it's very good and I enjoy watching it.
I was gonna say, so the goal for this year, Peanut wants to do horror houses where I punch someone.
Karate chop.
She's so excited about that fact. Oh, yeah, I want to see you karate chop. I'll be right in the face. And then we're also going to do Rocky Horror Picture Show. So we're ready for October. Let's go.
My sister is like you two with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Good sister. We like her.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Well, ladies, shall we wrap it up?
One thing I want to say before we go is that, yeah, I think that we're going to post on our Facebook page a little thing for everybody that wants to post what their favorite or movie is, or their comfort movie, what they turn to.
Yes. We can put a little Q&A up there.
Yep. I sent a little thingamajiggy, a picture into there that's perfect for it. It's colorful. It's attractive. It'll draw in people.
Yeah, so I think we should do that, and hopefully people will come and visit the page and let us know. Maybe there's some movies that, you know, we haven't seen that look interesting that we can check out.
I'd love to hear from anyone and everyone. What's your shows? What's your movies? Get a good conversation going.
Yeah.
Recommend things for each other. See, I can speak.
And how can they get hold of us, Taylor?
Oh, look at you going right into that. That's so smooth.
Smooth like butter.
So if you want to get a hold of us, you can contact us at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. You can also obviously reach out to us on the Facebook page. And I swear I am working on a Discord. It is just very slow moving because I've been busy lately. I've done that social thing.
It's very slow.
Says she who's just in there going, oh, this is nice. I don't know what to do. This is nice in here.
I'm in a room all by myself.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, so I'm moving faster than those two. The episodes are also posted on my personal Instagram at GoddessTayTay25. They're also posted on Dana's Twitter, which is Scooby71, S-K-O-O-B-I-71. You can also find it on her TikToks, which is just at Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. I think that covers all the places where we post it. And because we haven't done it, I think we did it last week. I can't remember now. But what's one thing that we're all grateful for or love about ourselves?
Dana, you're up. Last week.
Okay, I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
Well, before I get into what I'm grateful for, just want to remind everybody that you can find us on Podomatic.com. That is our platform where we upload our podcast to. Podomatic then shares it with 11 different podcasts.
Platforms,
thank you. So like Apple and Spotify and Google and all them fun ones, iHeartRadio. So if you go to podomatic.com to download one of our episodes, it doesn't cost anything. Sign up, get a username and a password. I'm not saying you have to do a podcast. If you do, we would follow you. But it would allow you to follow us, and you could comment on our episodes. By following us and commenting on our episodes, it helps us stay relevant in the mental health category. It's keeping us in the top 10, which is where we'd like to be, because when somebody does a search and they type in mental health, the top 10 podcasts come up. Ours is in that list. And so somebody is more apt to want to click on and listen to our podcast if it stays in the top 10. So we really do need that kind of support from you guys. Mm-hmm. If you could do that, that would be great. Now, what am I grateful for? This may sound okay. I'm grateful for having a doctor that listens to me and doesn't undermine when I tell him that something doesn't feel right. He doesn't try to play it off against something else. He listens to me and he works to help find a resolution. I thought I was going to have to go back on my antidepressants. There was a time there a few weeks ago where I really hit like a really bad low. Sorry, ladies, I didn't tell you about it.
I figured it was happening when it happened.
I had a conversation with him, and the root of everything. So we're working on not. He asked me if I wanted to go back on them, and I said not really, because I don't. Honestly, I'm being honest. I don't really want to go back on them. I didn't like the way they made me feel the first time. So we're working on another resolution to not having to take medication. So that's what I'm thankful for. I'm grateful for having a doctor that will let me explore other options, homeopathic, natural supplements, that type of thing, without pushing hardcore drugs on me, like, right off the bat.
I think that's a really good thing.
I need your doctor.
Joelle, you're up.
So mine's going to sound really stupid and silly, but it kind of is towards Dana's as well. I'm thankful that I have hydro. With this heat lately, there's, and these storms, and especially in the States and that, there's so many people without hydro. And I have myself struggled with some medical issues, and the heat is very hard for me to handle. And so I'm grateful that I have hydro so that I can have air conditioning and survive, because I don't honestly know what I would do if I didn't have hydro in this heat. And I know there's so many right now that don't.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good one, just because we are aware of the heat wave that's hitting the States, the flooding that's hitting over there, obviously the fires that are going on up here in Canada, like just all over the place. And I think that's a good one to be grateful for and happy for. So I think that's a good one, Peanut. I think that's a very good one. What am I grateful for? I'm grateful for new friends who understand the randomness of my brain. Because I have my moments where I will just jump back and forth between things, or I will round back to a topic that I forgot was even a topic until suddenly, like 2 or 3 hours later, or a couple days later. And not everyone's really good with that. So I'm grateful that I found friends now. Like, I have you two who, you neither one of you even question it. You're just like, oh, okay. And just go about the merry little way.
It's not my business to question anybody about anything. Really.
I would say, and that is what I'm appreciative of, because that's hard to find. It's not something simple where a lot of people go with it. A lot of people make you feel crazy when you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I remember that you asked this question 2 hours ago. I forgot. And just randomly now remember.
2 hours.
That happened one of the days I've had far longer, where it's been like a couple weeks later. Also, I'm like, yeah. Hey, you asked me that question and I never got back to you. But it happened one of the days at work. One of the girls asked me something. We were talking about where we get like breakfast sausages from. And I said, oh, in town. She had asked the question about where in town, like, where is it that you live? So what's in town for you? And then we got waylaid by someone else. And then 2.5 hours later, when we went for lunch, all of a sudden I'm sitting there just eating like my salad or whatever the hell I had. And looked at her and went, didn't you ask me a question this morning? And the entire table went, what? Thankfully, one of the other girls remembered. She's like, oh, yeah, you did ask that question. I'm like, oh, good. I'm not insane. Here's the answer to it, by the way. But it's like, well, thankfully, I have friends that go just right along with it. And they're like, yes, that was the question. And then thankfully, I have sisters who also feel the same way. Like, I know that if my sister asks me something, she's not expecting an answer necessarily right away. And she'll accept if I come back to her 2 weeks later and go, did we have a conversation about this one thing happening? Oh, we did. Did I ever answer that? Oh, I didn't. Oh, here's the answer. So I know it's a weird thing awesome. To be thankful for, but I am very thankful for that. And next week's topic, I can't wait to hear what Dana has to say about all of this. Like, this, I'm sure it's going to be a fun one. Episode 31 is going to be about spirituality. So for me, it's an important thing and an important thing part of my life. But there's also going to be like the difference of going what religion is versus spirituality. So I'm sure that part, Dana's going to be up on a soapbox shouting from the rooftops. And
how dare you assume anything?
So that's going to be exciting.
Love a disclaimer.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Anything Dana says can't be held against her.
I am not responsible for these things that are being said. Go see your own priest. Have fun.
All right. Sounds good. On that note, we'll bid everyone a fond farewell. Yes, you'll be getting this episode tonight, as I said. I won't leave it until Monday night. I will try to get it edited and posted tonight. So have a glorious weekend, everyone. Be kind to one another, because everybody is on the earth for the same reason, and that is just to live a happy life.
Yes, I second that. Be kind, because you don't know what's going on.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.